Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Here in this passage, we see that Solomon sharing with his son or sons the message that he received of his father, David. And as you think about David, and a lot of times we just kind of think about his life as a whole, and we think that part that sticks out like a sore thumb, where he committed sin, murder, and adultery. We look at that and we think, how can this be a man after God's own heart? But if we look at the passages, read about his life, we find that he was a man after God's own heart. If you read Psalm 51 and see the prayer of repentance that he prayed, you know that he got right with God. Amen. Now, the sword never left his house. He did reap what he sowed within his home, his household. And it's a sad thing. If you read the entire story, like we say, you see the entire reaping of what he sowed, and it's sad. It's very sad. But if you study 1 and 2 Kings and you read about the kings that came after him, you'll read that some of them did evil in the sight of the Lord. Some of them obeyed the Lord. Some of them kept the statutes or the ways of David, or followed David, or lived after David. You'll see that some, but none ever attained to that standard that David set of wholeheartedly serving the Lord. And a lot of it had to do with how they finished. It wasn't not just how they began their kingdom or their life, but how they finished. And so it's an interesting study here. And we see that these are, of course, as it says, the words of David, but it's been inspired. God gave it, and it's given to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so first, the first word you see in verse 1 of chapter 4 is hear. Hear, ye children. You that have children, grandchildren, or you've observed the children of other folks, sometimes children, we use the word listen. Are you listening? That's what this word means, is listen to me. There's, in our thinking and in our modern language, we listen is more in tune to hearing than what, but the Lord Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And this word hear is used and given, but it's a stronger word than just hearing something and not paying any attention to it, letting it go in one ear and out the other. You remember the disciples were told several times that the Lord was going to die and was going to be buried and raised on the third day, but apparently it just went in one ear and out the other. They were not listening. They may have heard him say some words. They didn't understand it, or they were thinking about something else. And we've seen some passages that lead us to believe that they weren't thinking about what he was saying. They were thinking about what they wanted to say when he was through saying what he was saying. And have you ever had a conversation with somebody where you know that they're not listening to what you're saying, they're just waiting till you're through so they can say what they want to say? They may be hearing words, but they're not listening. Well, he's talking about listen. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know, understand the importance of this. Let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says, Hear counsel and receive instruction. that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Well, wait a minute now. In this verse, in verse 1 of chapter 4, he's talking to children or talking to sons or to young people, to younger folks, right? But verse 20 of chapter 19 says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. That means later on. Later on in life. Did you know that there never comes a time in our life when we should stop learning, receiving the wisdom of God, Amen. Having a teachable heart, having a sensitive spirit to the truth? Amen. And the devil would like to destroy that. The devil would like for us to become hard of hearing and not listen to the Spirit of God, not be sensitive to the Word of God. And the way that that happens is we become involved or engulfed in ourselves, in pride and selfishness. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord and we're sensitive to the Spirit of God, sensitive to the Word of God, we should not be surprised when the preaching of God's Word, when we read God's Word, when it brings conviction. Now, how do we respond to the conviction of God's Word? Do we say, well, I'm not going to do that? Or, that doesn't apply to me. Well, I know somebody back in a few rows, a few pews back, that sure would be good for. Or, I know somebody that should have been here today. That would have been perfect for them.
Right.
No, it's us. We need it. We all need it. And if you're praying, if you're ready to receive God's Word, then you'll get a blessing. You'll get instruction. You'll get something. Did you know there's some folks that come in and sit down, and they may not cross their arms, but in their heart they do. They cross their arms and say, preacher, bless me if you can. Bless me if you can. I don't think you can, but I'm here. And it's an attitude that they know more about it than the preacher does. Now, I know that's not the case around here, but where I came from, it's very prevalent. Down south, everybody knows how to do it better than you do, and everybody's got a brother, a preacher, that's a brother-in-law that's a preacher, and, well, I better not get off on that subject. But stubbornness and hard-headedness, and you can't tell me anything. And it's not that the preacher is trying to straighten out, but the Lord's trying to help. The Lord's trying to speak to hearts. The Lord's trying to correct and make us more like Himself. And the only way that's going to happen is if we have a teachable heart.
Amen.
That's the only way that's going to happen. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. Proverbs 8, 32 through 36, just a few chapters over. Listen to this. It says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. This is wisdom that's speaking here in this passage. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Wow. Plain and clear. The way to life, the way to blessing, the way to the presence of God is by listening. And again, let me make this clear. When we're talking about wisdom, godly wisdom, again, it cannot be obtained apart from salvation. A person must be saved and be in fellowship with the Lord. And so if a person is saved and in fellowship with the Lord, then wisdom can benefit and bless. And all the things that are instruction, the knowledge of God, all these things are connected to this. Humility is connected to it. The wisdom of God has blessings in so many areas. Now, it says here in verse 2. Let's go ahead and move on to verse 2. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Now again, this is Solomon speaking here, and he in verse 4, we're going to begin looking at the words of David, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. That word doctrine got my attention there, because he could have said good teaching, and it's a very interesting word. There are doctrines that we study, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of last things, eschatology, ecclesiology. We study doctrines that are, if we're studying a doctrine, we're studying something that the Word of God is. This is my understanding of it. Now, there's some folks that have doctrines that, as far as their denomination or their religious body is concerned, that has nothing to do with what the Bible has said. Absolutely nothing. And they call it doctrine. But when we are talking doctrine, we're talking about essential teaching. Amen. We're talking about that which cannot be taken for granted or left off, or the virgin birth, for example. That's something that you can't take or leave. You must believe and believe what the Bible says about the virgin birth of Christ. There's nowhere to doubt that. There's nowhere to question that. And so when we're talking about true Bible doctrine, then that is very powerful, isn't it? That's why, you know, there's churches that that don't teach anything about what these Bible distinctives are, if you want to call them. And some, I know they're bad, what we call would call Baptist distinctives are actually Bible distinctives. Because if you're the right kind of Baptist that you should be, you're going to be a Bible believer, and we get our Baptist doctrine from the Scripture. Amen. Now, that being said, there's denominations, there's groups, there's churches, there's a lot of preaching and speaking and storytelling and things going on today that has very little to do with Bible doctrine, with the truth, with these distinctives. There's this guy who speaks on every Sunday on TV. He's got a big church out in Texas, I think. I can't remember his name, but he grins all the time like a horse chewing briars. You know who I'm talking about, Pastor? Okay. Yes, him. And I've listened to him a couple of times. And you may listen to him too, but you're not going to hear a whole lot of Bible doctrine from him. You're just not. You're going to hear some stories that make you feel good about yourself. And I am not. And I like to feel good about myself, don't get me wrong. I like to feel good about myself as much as anybody in the whole world. But if I'm going to truly feel good about myself, it's going to be because I'm right with the Lord. And I've got peace with God. And that can only come from knowing the Lord through the pages of this book. Now, let me give you a couple of verses. John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17 says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. The Lord Jesus said what he did was going to line up with God's word and what God said, God the Father said, or it's not true. You see, the Lord Jesus is either who he says he is or he's the greatest imposter this world's ever known. He's either everything that he says that he is. Now, when I got saved as an 11-year-old, I didn't know everything that the Bible said about the Lord. I didn't know. I hadn't read it. I hadn't studied it. But you know what? I believed it. I accepted it to be true. I accepted everything that the Bible said about Christ to be true. I didn't question it. I wholeheartedly, without reservation, trusted him as my Savior. And whatever was true about him, I believed it. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about doctrine. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful words as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, what's a gainsayer? A gainsayer is one who does not believe the truth. A gainsayer is one who has based their body of beliefs on tradition or opinions or whatever it might be. It's not based on the truth of God's word. Now, I'm thankful. I don't know honestly, I don't know why folks are so confused today. Well, let me take that back. I kind of do. Because they've been watching too much television. They've been reading too much stuff that is apart from this Bible. Now, I'll tell you something. There's a lot of folks not reading this book today.
That's right.
They're not reading Proverbs, a proverb every day.
That's right.
If you read a proverb every day, they wouldn't be in the mess that they're in. Because if they were obeying it, if they were reading it and saying, God, help me to know you, help me to follow you, help me to obey you. There's a lot of folks not reading God's Word. And these new versions that are being printed, a new one coming out every year, or every time you turn around here, you never heard of that version before. Why is it that there are so many versions of the Bible? Because people want to write one that says it the way they want it to be said.
Amen.
And a lot of these so-called preachers are out there preach. They'll if they write a book or they have a sermon, they'll have a list. They'll quote verses, 5 or 10 verses from different versions of the Bible. They'll look till they find one that says it the way they want it to be said.
That's right.
You know, we ought to let the Word of God sit in judgment of us, not us in it. So, this truth, this faithful Word, this doctrine, sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Most certainly there is. If there's not, we're in trouble. If there's not, we're lost. If there's not, we're wasting our time. But we're not. You know what it was worth getting out on a snowy morning to come to God's house, to listen to God's Word? Because it's the truth.
Amen.
And there's nothing like the truth. You see, only Christ can satisfy. And He is the truth. He's the embodiment of truth. His Word is the truth. John 17:17, He says, Thy Word is truth. So, we're talking about this doctrine, back over to verse 2. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. This word law, again, is one of the words that's used for the Word of God. It's not necessarily, although it includes the Old Testament law of God. But it's talking about God's Word as a whole. In verse 3, it says, For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, in verse 4, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. He's sharing here what David his father shared with him. And he's sharing how important he felt that was. How important it was to him. It made a difference in his life, didn't it? It certainly did. Again, looking at the entire life, it would have been best for Solomon if he'd have followed all the way through.
That's right.
But he let the world, the flesh, and the devil, and too many women, more than one,
yeah,
change his heart. He started trying to please them in their idolatries. And because of he married strange women, They were strangers, but they were probably some strange ones too.
Amen.
He had enough to have some strange ones as well in the bunch. But many of them were idolaters, and they brought that with them. They didn't leave it in their homeland. They brought it with them. And so he wanted to make them happy. Now, at this time, as he's giving God's Word, and thankfully he wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's the words of David, it's the words of God. The encouragement is given here. In verses 3 and 4, he says, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. The instruction of those who love us, the instruction of a parent, the instruction of a godly mentor, someone who cares about us. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, talking about Abraham, is talking about how God knew that he would share and teach his children the Word of God and the truth of God. It says, For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So God had confidence in Abraham because of his heart, because Abraham, did you know he was called the friend of God?
Amen.
He was. Did you hear about the husband and wife that got into the little discussion? And the husband said to the wife, said, "Hey, you better watch how you talk to me. Don't you remember that Sarah called Abraham Lord? Not Lord God, but mean sir. Don't you remember that Sarah called Abraham Lord?" And you know what the wife said back? She said, "Yeah, but Abraham was a friend of God." Yeah, I said, if you were the friend of God, I might call you sir. Or show a little more respect there. Yeah, Abraham was a friend of God. How did he get to be the friend of God? By trusting him. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I found a verse in Proverbs 22. It's still in the Bible. It's verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's still there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." I never found the verse that says it tells children not to provoke their fathers to wrath. I shared that with my kids a couple of times. I said, I know what it's talking about here is talking about overwhelming your children and oppressing them, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's what Solomon said that his dad, David, did for him. And this is what he's wanting to do for his children, his son here. Now here's what David said in verse 4. He said, "Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Then verses 5 through 9 go together. I want to read them as a whole. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thee give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." I want you to notice here is that there is, again, we're reminded that wisdom just doesn't come upon us without our desire for it. There must be a desire for wisdom. And what will we do to obtain wisdom? Well, we'll get into fellowship with the Lord. We'll have our hearts right with God. That's the first thing. And then we'll ask for wisdom. As it says, I've got the verse for you here in James chapter 1, verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally." All men liberally, "and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Asking for wisdom. Now, again, this is not just a one-time thing that we do on January 1st and God gives us wisdom for the entire year. It's a day-by-day thing. It's a moment-by-moment thing, a situation or circumstance-by-circumstance. We may be faced with a decision that we weren't expecting to face today. We really might. I mean, it could happen on the way home. It could happen after we get home. It could happen tomorrow. There's times we need to say, and we may need to breathe a prayer, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me to do the right thing. Give me wisdom. Show me what to do here. Show me what to say. Give me wisdom. Guide the words of my mouth." And I pray for the Lord to guard the words of my mouth. To be careful. Now, let me share another verse with you. Proverbs 16, verse 16. Well, in looking at this passage, notice if you would, verse 6, "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." We have here a preservation and a keeping. "Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding." The understanding is not only what God is telling us to do, but why he's telling us to do it. We don't always get that at the moment that he gives us wisdom. But I believe he gives it to us eventually. I think he'll show us why he told us to do what he told us to do. I think he will. It's happened. I've experienced that. It's not always been right there at that moment, that situation that I needed wisdom. But later on, the understanding comes, oh, I see now why he told me to do that. I see now why he told me to make that choice. And then you say, what do you say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for protecting me. And so, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16, looking at this entire passage, and let me bring together here this next verse. It says, exalt thee, verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee, so she'll bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Proverbs 16, verse 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Again, we want to remember that gold and silver are temporal, and they can be valuable. They can accomplish a lot, but the eternalness of wisdom and understanding is far more precious and far more important. Because if we don't have wisdom and understanding, whatever gold and silver there might be that's within our power, may those riches, what does they take wings and fly away, as the Bible says. And the Bible talks about having a bag of riches with holes in it. Yeah. Well, having the proper understanding of what true wealth is. True wealth is that which is eternal. In Old Testament times, we know that there were much material blessings, and that was a sign of obedience to the Lord. But there were spiritual blessings as well. But in the New Testament, our blessings are primarily eternal and spiritual. And those are the best kind, honestly. Now, the Bible still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are the things that's talked about there in Luke chapter 12? Those things of a home, of shelter, food, and clothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God knows, because it says God knows what we have need of even before. He knows we have need of all these things. Psalmist David said, I've been young and now am I old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Well, there is the blessing of the Lord. And there is the material and the temporal blessings that we're thankful for, but the spiritual blessings are eternal. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, honor is used back here in verse 8. It says, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. This honor, I believe, is not only our own heart realizing that we have done the right thing, but it's others also noticing that we have done the right thing. Now, they might not say, oh, you've done the right thing. You're wonderful. What a blessing. They may not do that, but they think about it. They recognize, they notice it. Folks notice when we do the right thing. They may not heap a lot of praise on us, but that understanding is an honor. The understanding that we have done the right thing is an honor. And it says in Proverbs 22 and verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Of those three things, riches, honor, and life, which one's more important? Life. Eternal life. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Sure. That's the spiritual part of it. The abundant life. By humility and the fear of the Lord. That's the source. That's where it comes from. Verse 9, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she delivered to thee. Again, that which is visible, that which is noticeable, that which is observed by others. Again, that's not the purpose of why we honor the Lord or why we ask for wisdom or fear him. That's not what we're trying to accomplish, but that's the joy or the reward of doing the right thing. And it's going to vary from person to person, situation to situation, time to time. But the Lord will not leave us desolate, will he? And none of those that trust in him shall be desolate, the scripture tells us. And so, what is it we want? What is it that we desire? According to this passage, the greatest thing that we can have is the wisdom of God. Because everything else falls into place. Now, when I say it falls into place, I want to remind you that Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Romans 8:28 doesn't say all things are good. Because all things are not good. But he works all things together for good. And it's conditional, isn't it? To them that love God. Do you love him today? I believe you do. You wouldn't be here this morning. I believe you do. We want to love him more, don't we? Let's have a word of prayer.